Welcome to everybody and those of you online, welcome. And this is a separate activity from Feast of Tabernacles, our daily worship service. Anyway, let's go ahead and open with prayer if you join me. Our Father in heaven, and we do pray to you, as Jesus Christ said when we pray in Matthew 6, the example, we pray to you, and Jesus Christ is there at your right hand, but we pray specifically to you and thank you for the sacrifice that you and your Son, which was the Word that became flesh, what you did and that incredible opportunity for salvation that opens up through the blood of Jesus Christ and his death. We pray you'll be here this evening as we talk about mental health, how it relates to your Word in each one of us, and pray that you'll just guide and direct what's said. And that the web cast would go well for those connected with us and bless those watching. Father, thank you. The Feast of Tabernacles is filled with opportunities. We're here to learn, to rejoice, and to fear you, and to fear as our God always. We're not here just to have activities, and those are fine, but all too often there become so many activities where we don't think about our relationship with you. It's all about what we can have for us, and that can sidetrack us. So we ask your blessing, we thank you, we turn this over to you and praise you and ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Every year at the Feast of Tabernacles, I use one of the activity slots to share some insight in, as I say, to one of the other hats that I wear, and I delve into focus education, which is focusing specifically on mental health and psychology and our makeup. And as I've said before, the greatest psychologist to ever live was Jesus Christ. And I'll explain that in more detail sometime. But as we walk and navigate through this life with our relationship with our Father and His Son and one another, there are things I like to talk about that enter in that are important that you don't hear sometimes, you don't hear in many of the other parts of the Church of God. So taking care of our health, I'm looking out here at, we're all getting older, and taking care of our health physically is important. It's important to all ages. But what about our emotional health? You ever ask that question? We'll be coming up in less than 3 months to the time of the calendric year of man, where many people examine themselves closely to make what some call a New Year's resolution. You may have lived long enough that you've done that. I hope you don't still do that as far as with the Gregorian calendar, because we do not, the Bible does not ask us or command us to keep New Year's. In fact, it's just the opposite of what God's New Year is. It's not in January 1st for a minute. Many start with exercise programs because they're concerned about their health. But is taking care of our physical health more important than our emotional health? You may say, I don't get it. Well, stay tuned here. Over the years, I've had many young adults. A young adult would be 21 to 40. You're like, that's old. Oh, well. 40's not old, but some may think so. They've conveyed to me that beauty and health is important, but they wish to be emotionally stable and happy even more than physically fit. Emotionally healthy people are in control of their emotions and their behavior. And my experience has been some people flip a switch. They go from being rather pleasant to a real obnoxious person real quick. We can all do that. We may think, no, we don't do that, but we all, the various facets of that. They're able to more readily handle the challenges of life. They're able to build stronger relationships and more easily recover from setbacks. A true test of someone to see if they're emotionally stable is give them some kind of challenge, resistance, or where things don't all go their way. And you'll find out if they're emotionally stable. Emotionally stable doesn't mean you're just calm and You never get irritated because there's a thing called being passive aggressive, a severe emotional challenge where it's your way or the highway, but you're just low key about it, but you're very stubborn. There are other people that blow up and you think, man, they're emotionally unstable. Well, sometimes they're more stable than people that just are always calm and collected. People say, well, I don't understand that. Well, we'll talk about some of that. We all know how much effort is required to build or maintain physical health. I exercise daily. I ride a bike and I stretch. My wife swims almost every day or walks or runs when it's too cold. But during the feast, I don't get that exercise. And about the second day in, I don't feel good. And some of you know this, as you get older, you can't exercise as much. I can't. And you feel it. And then it affects your sleep and your digestion and how you are emotionally. And it goes on and on. But mental and emotional health requires the same, if not more, effort to stay healthy. And improving our emotional health is rewarding. It's benefiting all aspects of our life. Some people say, oh, I can't relax unless I have a beer or wine or a drink in my hand or a joint or a cigarette. Some people can't relax or ever unless they're exercising to a overextent. And to boost our mood, to build resilience, improve your enjoyment of life God has blessed us with, requires effort. So what is emotional or mental health? Could you hear a lot about that? What is it? Mental or emotional health refers to one's overall psychological well-being. This can affect us at the feast and how we rejoice at the feast. Let me go back to the early years of the feast that some of you have been at. When we read in the Bible that you have second tithe, this large amount of money. Okay? What's that for? Whatsoever your soul desires. And then it mentioned in there, strong drink. So the early years of the church, the Mogan David and the, what was the one kind of, there's Joe, he's going. I figured it'd be, about 15 minutes. He's ready to check out. He's so tired. I'm sorry. You can turn the other way and sleep. It's good. But what is it that really makes us relax or rejoice? I tell the story about one time in Florida. A friend of ours came down we hadn't seen from college with his wife and a couple other couples, husband and wives, and we all got together at this Mexican restaurant. We were laughing and carrying on. Somebody told a story that we remembered, and we're laughing and the manager came over and said, who's responsible for this group? And I said, well, I am. I live here. Can I talk to you a minute? He said, I hate to do this, but you guys are so loud and laughing so much and everything, I'm going to have to cut the alcohol off at this table. I said, we haven't had any alcohol. He said, I don't buy that for a minute. So he called the server over. She said, they haven't had any. He said, how can you have this much fun and be this happy and not be drinking? And so how you feel about yourself, the relationships you have, managing your feelings and deal with difficulties that arise, a good mental or emotional health isn't just the absence of mental health problems. Being mentally or emotionally healthy is much more than being free of depression, anxiety, or psychological issues. It refers to the presence of certain characteristics. In Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22, I'll just read it to you. In the English Standard Version, it says, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. I like to joke and tease. And you know why I like to do that in part? Because a lot of people are really stiff. We used to say, you know, your britches are really tight. And people don't laugh very much. I remember a minister, the devil is around us like a roaring lion, and we need to be what? Sober and vigilant. And he said, you should not be enjoying this life. And I thought, that's weird. That's not what I get in all the other scriptures. So you can be sober-minded, but enjoy life. I think that's one of the reasons God gave all these nationalities, to show us, you know, the Italians are really going to get worked up and excited. But the Germans are going to be all calm and everything's just this way. And I know that's a stereotype, but, you know, the Hispanic culture, we found this in serving various countries. It kind of very different. Chileans were very different than Colombians or Hondurans or Peruvians. But the Spanish people tend to get pretty. Well, watch C-SPAN, the British Parliament. They're arguing. You think they're going to pull each other's eyes out. And then they take a break with the gavel and they go out and have a, you know, fish and chips and slap each other in the back, a couple pints, and they come back. They don't hate each other. And so, you know, a joyful heart is good medicine. Philippians 4:8 in the NIV says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, ponder, muse, think on these things. Now, similarly, not feeling bad is not the same as feeling good. What? While some people may not have negative feelings, they still need to do things to make them feel positive in order to achieve good mental and emotional health. The Bible's filled with things on how to get a balance with this, and very few people read it. And when they read it, they don't look at it that way. And the young adult and teenage years, as they progress through puberty, along with social and peer pressure, often tax their emotional health. You can look at what's going on in the world right now and say, well, it's just the way it is. It's the world we live in. It's where we are. It's how society functions. Wrong. It is degraded so quickly. Our young people are constantly exposed to things we never were, ever. We have no clue. Well, I get it. I was like that when I was a kid. No, you weren't. You didn't have, when you were growing up, you can choose to be a girl, Harry, if you want. This, my father-in-law here. You know, Gail, you don't have to be male or female. You can be neutral. Imagine what that would do to your young mind when you're in school. The teacher telling you that? And so the results are often devastating, and some seem never to recover, carrying experiences for the remainder of their lives. Many of the things that we go through as children, as we progress through life, we may think we had the perfect family, and look how we are. Well, it's subjective through our lens on what we think. Anybody remember hearing this? Children should be seen and not heard. It's what was taught. That's absolutely rotten, wrong. Just the opposite of what Christ said. Okay, when the children are rambunctious and running around and happy and joyful, permit them to come to me. So some in the church sometimes, and in society, it's like the extremes, because the emotional health is all over the place. Many of us as adults carry baggage from a good part of our life in the past years that we would say, no, that's not baggage, just the way it should be. I would have a different opinion on that. God never intended us to stay emotionally ill or to suffer continuously. But some people do. That's how it was. I went through that, you know, and I'm just going to be like that. So I want to take a look in this seminar how we can take care of ourselves emotionally and mentally, and maybe give us some things to ponder and think about. Here are some positive characteristics of people who are mentally and emotionally healthy. They have a sense of contentment. I didn't say a feeling. There's a difference. They have a sense of contentment. They have a balance between work and play, rest and activity. This is a big one. People say, well, I work like a dog. I work because God created man to work. Then I retire. I don't do much. I just retire. Neither one's right. Okay? But my experience with the United States, this is generality, we're workaholics. No other country, and I've been through many, many, many countries. Gail and I have too. Joe, what about Italy? They don't work from 5:30 in the morning, get up, hit it at 7, work all day, and then come home and work all night and crash, you know, on projects, and they don't. And people say, well, they're so lazy in this country. How do they get anything done? The idea of 24/7 is ludicrous. But yet, well, positive characteristics of people who are mentally, emotionally healthy. They have an ability to deal well with stress and bounce back from adversity. They have a zest for life. They laugh often and they have fun. They are flexible to learn new things and adapt quickly to change. That's always fun at the feast, fun in quotes. Watching, trying all of us to flex with how other people do things. And I think God made it that way to see it. I can just, in the world tomorrow, when the millennium comes, I'm just, oh, it's going to be almost entertaining. I remember going back to 1986. I was in Tampa, Florida. I was, as a young man, placed in responsibility of the entire Bayfront Center for St. Petersburg for the Feast of Tabernacles. That was security, sound, setup, cleanup, ushering, whatever, stage. And a guy came down from Rockford, Illinois. Never forget him. First time I'd met him. Gregarious, outgoing, pompous, loud at times person, very, very type A personality. And I was sitting in my chair next to my wife and came up and he leaned over and he would walk around all during church. Like, I don't know what was going on. He always had to be walking around. And he leaned over and he said, who's running the sound down here? I said, hi, have I met you? I'm so-and-so from Rockford, Illinois. Okay. And he said, who's the idiot running the sound? I run the sound for the Wisconsin Dells or whatever it was. And it was obnoxious. And I said, you know, it's okay. And it was Levine Varel. He's dead now, but he was in St. Pete. He was an electrical engineer and really smart. And they were having some problems like we have here. I just had with the microphone. And she's not an electrical engineer, and I'm definitely not. And so, but emotionally positive people that are healthy, mentally and emotionally, they're flexible to learn new things and adapt quickly to change. They have a sense of meaning and purpose in their activities and relationships. And they have an ability to build and maintain relationships that are fulfilling with multiple people across various personality types. Now, you're probably thinking, I did okay with the first couple, and then it got kind of muddled. These positive characteristics of mental emotional health allow you and me to participate in life to its fullest through productive, meaningful activities and solid relationships. One of the things about the Church of God that is so fragmented is relationships. And people that try to make everybody do it the way they know it should be done, instead of just flexing with it. And that creates an emotional instability. They help us cope when faced with life's challenges and stressors. Do you know what a stressor is? You probably faced one today or two. Coming to the feast is a stress. You have to pack everything ahead of time. Well, that's not stressful. Well, it is for somebody. You got to drive a long way or fly, right? You're in a new place, like with us, we've been in the same place. We keep going back because we know everything about it, and you get it laid out, and it's less stressful. And you start running into different things that produce stress. And it's like, how do we deal with that? 3 John chapter 1, verse 2 in the NIV says, "Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers." Being emotionally and mentally healthy doesn't mean never going through times of difficulty or experiencing emotional challenges. We all have disappointments. We have loss and we have change. There's nothing sure in life except change. Things are going to change. Guess what? I'll share this with you. We had X number of people register this year at the feast for Orange Beach for Church of God Ministries. Not one of those people registered is here. And we have multiple other people that are here worshiping, celebrating the feast. I don't never met them before and talked to them anyway and know them. They didn't register. Well, that doesn't mean that's bad or wrong, but when you try to, for example, plan for the food, you need to be emotionally stable and flex with that. It doesn't mean just putting up with it and not getting excited about it. And you think through this, and these are normal parts of life. They can cause sadness, anxiety, stress. Sometimes few never seem to get past the past, whatever that past is. Many of the recorded men and women of the Bible face challenges mentally and emotionally, so it's not unique just to today or to us. I want to talk about resilience. People with good emotional health have an ability to bounce back. If I take a ball and throw it against that wall and hit it in a spot that's and it's hard rubber, it's going to hit that and it's going to bounce back. And I hold it, it's going to be in the same shape. It's going to have resilience when it hits that. It's not going to hit that and splatter and fall and drop. And it's done. Generally. That ability, this ability to bounce back from adversity is called resilience. People who are emotionally, mentally healthy are able to cope with difficult situations and maintain a positive outlook. You remember what Romans 8:28 says? All things, not some things, part things, all things work to the good for them that love God and are called according to his purpose. So whatever it is we have gone through or will go through, the greater purpose of our Father will be good. You may say, well, I don't buy that because I've had 25 years of this. And believe me, I've asked myself it many times. I've said, all this, these things at the feast, that produces good? It does. That long drive down here that wore you out produced good. And, or will produce good. Hopefully it did today, you know? And so during difficult and good times, we're flexible, focused, and creative. We're creative. If things don't go just the way we want, we don't bail and walk out. Okay? One of the things I've learned in the pastoral ministry for years, you can have everything lined up, all set up. I'm going to share a story here. This is not meant intended for anybody here. But there was one year for a holy day. I was in Charlotte, North Carolina, combined services, a lot of people. Several congregations. And I always spoke in the afternoon. And the morning guy got up and gave his sermon. It was almost word for word everything I was going to say. So guess what I had to do all during lunch? Rewrite everything. Because I had to give a different message. He covered everything. And so what it taught me, and somebody said, well, didn't you eat? I said, no, I didn't get to today. But what it taught me was, there were times when I would go to the feast somewhere, and when I pastored internationally more detail, more congregations, it never was the same. Oh, your room's not ready. You got this room. And there's no shower in there, but we'll have that fixed in a few days. Or the toilet doesn't work. You'll have to go outside and come all the way down a couple floors and use this toilet. Well, at the feast, when you got a lot going on, God added challenges. And so in life, sometimes it's like we have to become creative. And to become creative, you have to be emotionally resilient. In Philippians 2, verse 5, Christ throughout his ministry dealt with a lot of adversity and stress. You don't read all the things, but what you read, I wouldn't have wanted to trade shoes with him for anything. Even forget the suffering and the beating and the crucifixion, all the way up to there, I would not have wanted to ever be in that situation. Yet he was able to maintain a positive outlook. We're told to have that same mind which was in Christ Jesus. It will give us resilience. Romans 8:28, I read that already. I referred to that. One of the key factors in resilience is the ability to balance stress with your emotions. You may say, I don't have any problem with my emotions. People that don't have very many emotions, that's a problem. People that have too many emotions, that's a problem. People that say it don't matter, I know I've got everything figured out, that's a problem. And God has this wonderful ability to say, well, pick on Marlon. Well, since he's single, he's retired, got all his ducks in a row, I'm going to just throw a couple things into his life or allow him to do it to see how resilient he is. And see how he does. And I think he's probably done that with all of us. And whenever you get to the point where you have every day, you got your routine, every Sabbath, you know what you do, every night, you got everything just set up, you got it figured out, and you've been doing that for 50, 60 years, he's going to go, let's see how he does with this. Let's see how she does with this. Right? And one of the key factors is to how to balance the stress in your emotion. To recognize your emotions, express them appropriately, helps avoid getting stuck in anxiety, depression, or other negative mood states. Or getting angry and then becoming non-resilient because you're going to do it the way you know how to do it. Children will teach you that. Grandchildren will teach you that. Brethren will teach you that. Society will teach you that. You ever going along in your GPS, you got everything set up, I'm going to be at the condo and about this 6-hour trip, I'm going to be there in 10 minutes and road closed. You got to take this other thing. And then like when we came down here the other day, it just poured rain coming down here. All the way, really, really hard. You know, and so it's like, what do you do with that? What if you don't start right on time for services? I remember when Gail and I served in Columbia that we got it down from about an hour and 40 minutes down to then 45 minutes. Eventually, it was 20 minutes late, and people would come from the United States. This is unacceptable, one lady said, that you can't get these people to know what it means to start on time. We have Bible basics every week. Certain people are on there at 10 after 6, starts at 6:30. Others every week, 7, 10 after 7, they connect and interrupt, you know, what's going on. So what's better? Well, of course, those that are on 20 minutes early. It's ideal. But God's not going to say, I'm sorry, you can't be in our kingdom because you were never on time for church. Okay? So you balance that out, and having a good, strong support network, having trusted people you can turn to for encouragement, will help you with resilience, but not to make you codependent. That means every time things don't go well, you dial and say, Marlon, I need encouragement, and what do I do? A lot of people in the church are like that. To the minister, what do I do? To the church, tell us what to do. God doesn't want that. He doesn't tell us how to do everything. He says, here's my law. Obey me. Well, that's very subjective. No, it's not. Yes, it is. How do you perfectly keep the Sabbath? How do you observe the Sabbath perfectly? We're all over the map on that. He says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And to call it a delight, don't tread on it, don't work. Yeah, but we have all these guidelines we set up on how to make it exactly, and it causes what? Stress for people. Do you know that some people back in the day would not come to church because somebody would meet them at the door and say, it started 10 minutes ago. Where were you? Do you have a problem of being on time? People were told that. And it's like, that's stressful. That's not normal. That's not good. And so perhaps in your church fellowship, your pastor, close friends, or family members are really helpful to you. Maybe they're annoying to you. Maybe they add stress to your life. So what do some people do? I'm going to get out of the stress and go over here. Right? And physical health and mental and emotional health are directly connected. Taking care of your body is an important step towards mental and emotional health. The mind and the body are linked. God created it that way. And sometimes when your physical health improves, you'll experience greater mental emotional well-being. Anybody ever experienced this? You're exhausted, you're tired, you're stressed, you don't feel good. You sit down, I'm going to eat a bag of chips or a box of cookies. Or I'm going to have a beer and this. That's great. I'm relaxed. I feel great. Okay, it's a false sense of emotional stability and comfort. And so I remember coming back from circuits on Saturday night exhausted. Hadn't had anything really to eat. I'd sit down and eat a big thing of chips and have a beer. Okay? One day they said, well, you can't do that anymore. Or I'll walk tomorrow. Or whatever it is that we fill in, and it starts to affect your emotional health. It's been researched and proven that exercise strengthens our heart and lungs, but also, you know this word, releases endorphins. It's a powerful chemical that energizes, affects your emotional and mental health. The daily activities and the choices we make affect the way we feel physically and emotionally. Now you're going to be shocked what I'm about to say. I have told some people when they begin to explain everything going on at the feast and the stress and the kids and the hotel and the sleep change, and I've said, look, stay home and rest today. Well, we must not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Stay home. Don't go somewhere. Don't put another activity in. Just relax. Stay home. Can we do that? Well, not if you're spiritually on target, you won't. And here are some things, some daily choices that will help. Get enough rest. That's one of the problems about the feast. It's important to take care of your body. These are physical things, they're very basic, but most people, there are always exceptions, need 7 to 8 hours of sleep each night in order to function optimally. I've known, this is true, sadly, some ministers who bragged about, I don't need more than 3 hours of sleep ever. And I could list them who they were, because I worked with them. All of them suffered from some kind of mental illness. So if you say, I don't need more than 3 hours, 4 hours, maybe 5 hours at best, that's not normal. Okay? Exercise to relieve stress and lift your mood. It's a powerful antidote to stress, anxiety, and depression. Take the stairs instead of the elevator. Oh, I can't do that. I have severe mobility issues. But it takes a lot longer. But sometimes it's like, I need to do this, go for a short walk. I know this morning I heard the door click. My wife, I believe, went for a walk this morning around whatever. Try, some of you, please listen, for 30 minutes or more. You don't know what the pain I'm in. I can't do that. Well, you can. Just go slow. Use your walker. Have somebody walk with you. Crutches, whatever it is you have to have, unless you have you're a quadriplegic. But we come up with things, and then that affects how our emotional health is. It's noticeable. I can tell when some of you have exercised. I can tell when I have. Learn about good nutrition and practice it. It's complicated, very subjective. I wish I could write a book on all the gamut of where all of the people I've served are, including my own thoughts on health and nutrition. It's all over the place. But the more you learn about what you eat, how it affects your energy and mood, the better you'll feel. Some ignore it. Some things I don't bring up because I know it will cause such anger and irritation, I just don't address it. I don't. Getting a good dose of sunlight. These are very basic things. Get a good dose of sunlight every day. And God created it part to lift our mood. We had a fellow pastor friend that lived in North Dakota. North Dakota has very long winters without a lot of sun. It's cloudy, overcast, dreary, cold. And he would get a disease, they call it, where you just get depressed and discouraged because there's no sunshine. It can be done exercise gardening or just sitting out like I've done, just sit in a chair and get some sunshine. None of us were ever designed to work in an office all day or a factory or to stay inside in a nursing home in a chair or watch TV all day or whatever we do. We weren't designed for that. You get tired, don't you, Marlon? But when you were farming and outside, did you sleep better? I used to work outside all the time and I was exhausted, but I slept a lot better. But what happens? It begins to mess with you, and you think, well, I'm resting. Well, and avoid cigarettes and other drugs. Too many medications from an MD can have severe side effects. Cigarettes, too much alcohol, that's very subjective. Too much caffeine or stimulants that unnaturally make you feel good for the short term, but have a long-term negative consequence for your mood and emotional health. I'm going to say this, and it's not pointed at anybody. Why don't I drink very much alcohol? One, I don't feel good because of my diabetes, but back even when I could, I don't very much because I've done a lot of research. And it becomes a challenge. I've had to do interventions with people, with families. And yet, some people will say, I can't relax unless I have a drink. Well, alcohol is a stimulant. No, it's not. It makes me relax. No, it doesn't. It's a psychological plethora that people can't figure out. It's important to consider what we put in our bodies. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Don't you realize your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself. So maintaining, strengthening our mental, emotional health requires paying attention to how you feel, how you think, and how you are. And stress and negative emotions build up. Try to maintain a balance between daily responsibilities and the things you enjoy. A question to ask: do you enjoy worshiping God at services? If you can have a heart-to-heart with some people, they'll tell you if they're open. The Feast of Tabernacles is great, except for going to church. I've heard it. Why are we here at the feast? To swim, to go to restaurants, to go to the beach, to go to stores, to go to putt-putt golf. That's all part of it. That's fine. But I've had people say, I don't really like the feast unless I travel internationally. get to see something, go somewhere. So it's like there's an emotional mental disconnect. What created that? If you take care of yourself, you'll be better prepared to deal with challenges that arise. Pursue activities that release endorphins and contribute to feeling good. In addition to fixed physical exercise, endorphins are released when you do things that positively impact and help others. Serving others and focused on helping others helps you. It helps me. You could take an education class, visit a museum, learn a new language, or simply travel somewhere new on occasion. Learn to discover new things. Think of it as an intellectual treat. You've heard this, you're never too old to learn something. Right? How old are you when you started playing the flute? 50? That's too old to be doing something like that. I'm picking on her. Right? Colonel Sanders, how old was he when he started his chicken business? 68 years old. Man, that's old. That's 4 years more to go yet for me. So some people get into this, well, I'm now at retirement age, so, you know. Well, would you want to do this and do this? No. Can't teach an old dog new tricks, right? Actually, you can if the treat's good enough. In my home in Lower Alabama, which is where we are, this is Lower Alabama. Where Martin lives is Mid-Alabama. I told Robert Lyons I live in L.A. too. He's from Los Angeles. Simply walking through my backyard, putzing around and looking for weeds and different things, reduces stress. I used to think watching hummingbirds would reduce stress, but that actually adds to it. Because they're always fighting and bullying and running everybody off, and it gets me on edge, so I may stop feeding them. Because they just fight all the time. Anybody watch hummingbirds? They don't hum, and they just run everybody all over, and they're mad all the time. I don't know what the deal is. Taking a walk through a park, an art gallery, hiking, or just sit on a bench or at the beach. I have a couple piers in the area close to my home. I some days do that. I go down to check the mail. That's why I'm gone, Gail. I go and I sit for about 15 minutes and I just look at Mobile Bay. And take the time to stop. And we need to manage our stress levels. At the feast, it's interesting watching people. I can tell when people are stressed. Well, I'm not stressed. Oh, you're stressed. I'm stressed. Right? Stress in today's society takes a detrimental toll on mental and emotional health, horribly. Now, not all stressors can be avoided, and there's strategies to bring those things back into balance. Try to limit unhealthy mental habits like fretting or worrying. You can fret or worry that your mate or other people around you don't do things the way you think they should, and so you fret and worry about it and fuss. And that produces stress. And then it produces stress in them because they pick up on that and they have their own stress. And to avoid being absorbed by repetitive mental habits, negative thoughts about yourself, the world, that's easy to get into. And to drain our time and energy and trigger feelings of anxiety, fear, and depression. If your approach is, the devil's got the whole world, it's all ain't worth a nickel, it's rotten, you're going to be stressed. Because it's all bad. And until Christ returns, we got to live in this dog pile, right? Some of you are like that. It comes out, and you blow up, and you're stressed. It's like Christ said to the disciples, I send you out in the world as sheep among wolves. But protect them from the evil one, keep them from that, but you have to live there. So that can affect us. The news can affect us. That's why I tell people, stay off the mainstream media. You'll find out if your area is going to be hit by a typhoon and you're all going to die. For 15 years, I had a Bichon Frise as a pet, little dog, cute little dog. pets are a responsibility, but it can make you feel loved and needed by taking care of them. But the love of God, a mate, you know, a pet can fulfill that. Some people, having a pet, animals are good. But then you have to realize it can add stress because they get sick and you have to go take them out. And as they get older, you have to take them out more. And you have to walk them and feed them and spend money on them. But people don't pick up on that. I'm just happy. I love my animals. It's like you may be creating stress within your life. No. You can tell. Make leisure time a priority in your list of to-dos. Put down, today I'm not going to do from this time, anything. What? You have to have something to do. No, don't do anything. That feels so wrong with the American culture, doesn't it? To do nothing? That's why God created the Sabbath, because he knew that man would just work, activity. You ever heard people say, I go on a vacation, and I come home, I need a vacation from my vacation. Do you do that for the Feast of Tabernacles? I encourage people to pray, study your Bible, right? During the feast, more. I don't see it done very often. I don't see very many people go in their room and or sit and say, I'm going to read God's word. Not talk about it, not this big, just read it and meditate on it. Maybe shut the door. Why do you always go off by yourself? Well, I'm taking some time that I don't normally get, and I'm reading God's word. Yeah, but it's the Feast of Tabernacles. We have to go to this activity, that activity, this activity. Yeah? No. You don't have to do all that. Do things for no other reason than it feels good. Now, it's hard to find this anymore, but go to a funny movie, take a walk, listen to music, read a good book, or talk to a friend. I like to listen to nice music, but most of the people that I'm around don't like it. I would like to play a little background music here at the feast, but no, can't talk then, so I don't. But my wife can attest to this. When I have breakfast every morning, I turn on a little bit of music in the background. I like that. When I eat, I like to have a little music. Some people, no, you don't need music when you eat. So I don't. But you start to realize there are things you can do to relax. And do things because they're fun is important. Play is an emotional and mental health. Do you know that you can play as an adult? That's what you do until you turn 18. Then you work. Well, maybe your work is your play. Some people think that is. There's a difference there too. Make time for contemplation and appreciation and things you're grateful for. When was the last time you sat down without being entertained, reading, watching something, and just meditated and thought about all the blessings God's given you? It will relieve the stress. Because, and then unless you start saying, well, yeah, God, you blessed me with this, thank you, but I don't have this, then you get stressed. Right? But you start analyzing, think about all the blessings you have. Listening to you guys talk back there today to this younger man, I listened to you guys talk and I watched. I didn't get involved in the conversation. I just observed. It's like we've all have these, Marlon, your sermon today, we have these long lives we've lived. Do we look back and say, man, God, thank you for that and that and this and that. Wow. And then just stop. Don't think about what do you have to do, what you have to prepare for, what are we going to do at the end of the feast? We got all this food. What are we going to do with it? Just say, wow, look at the blessing of what we have. Look what God gave me today. I don't have a heart pain today. You know? My shoulder doesn't hurt today. I slept last night almost 3.5 hours straight through. That was awesome. Some of you may sleep all night long. Great. I don't. And Think about things you're grateful for. Meditate, pray, enjoy the sunset. I love watching natural light come up and go down the way God created it. I grew up in Nebraska. I love that. I go outside, get away from all the artificial light, and get outside and watch God shut the light off slowly. And when I get up in the morning, that's why I like to go out with a cup of coffee every day. I get up about 5:15 and I go out, make my coffee, and I sit. And you start hearing the birds. Then you watch it start to get light, and here comes the sun, what if it's not raining? And then when it gets up to a certain point, then I'll go inside. And we forget that God created us. He gave us the earth. And he gave us things to enjoy that will help with that emotional and mental health. David reflected in the Psalms, and he often mused, meditated, pondered on God, his word, and life in general while herding sheep. Yes, but he was always on guard for bears and thieves and wolves and lions. True. But he also, more than any other person, what did he say? I meditate, ponder, Selah. That means to stop. And he said, I consider the heavens that your fingers have made. And I tell some people, when you're inside all the time, you don't see all that. That's why living in cities I don't like. You'll go out and you got street lights, all that, you can't see all the stars. Colorado, we had a lot of folks here from Colorado. You go up in the mountains, get away from the lights, it's phenomenal how relaxing and that peace it gives you. And David dealt with that. And we're all different. Not all things will be equally beneficial. But some people feel better relaxing, slowing down. Others need more activity and excitement or stimulation to feel better. Some people cannot feel emotionally calm unless they got 200 things going on. And we say multiple irons in the fire. The important thing is to find activities that you enjoy and give you a boost. Whatever internal, external factors have shaped your mental, emotional health, it's never too late to make changes that will improve your psychological well-being. Factors of risk can be encountered with productive factors, like a strong relationship with God that, frankly, many of us may think we have, but I'm not so sure. It's a false sense of what we think is, not what God says. And so we create things and we make God into our image. A healthy lifestyle, strategies of how to manage stress and negative emotions. So take care of ourselves, yourself, emotionally and mentally. The reward will be worth the work. Don't try to put God in a box. Don't try to do things the way it's always been said, this is how you do it. You've heard this, think outside the box. You know why God gives us choices every day in our whole life? Because he doesn't want us all to be Harry Travis's or Scott Hofker or Joe Myers or Marlon Harris. He wants us to be unique. Within the confines of what? What he created. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And all the experiences of life we've had, use this time at the Feast of Tabernacles. For those of you online, use the time during these 8 days to benefit from several of the things we've talked about and discussed. Please don't close your minds and say, that's your opinion. I know what to do. Please consider that. Because we have, at this time in history, a lot of us are not emotionally, psychologically okay. We're stressed. We want things in our comfort zone of how we think it should be. And God says, here's where I want you, my child. This is where your potential, with my spirit, this is where you can be. And when you start to tap into that and understand that, you will have a sense of something that you have not faced in a very long time. And there's a famous saying, which I think is really important for all of us in life, and then we'll close there. Blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be bent out of shape. I'll let you think about that one. So, okay, we're done. We don't need to close in prayer. It's not a Bible study, but hopefully there was some things in there to ponder and think about, and you're not, hopefully it'll be a benefit. So we'll see all of you tomorrow, and we'll be online and live here in person at 10:15 a.m. Central Daylight Time, which only going to last a few more weeks, and then we'll be Central Time.